So today we're going to be talking about how to share our faith, but also if you're new, if you're a new Christian, this is very relevant to you. If you're somebody who's been a Christian for a long time, this is really very relevant for you. If you're somebody who you're not even a Christian at all yet, we're also going to talk about why you should become a Christian and what Jesus did. So I think it's going to be relevant for all of us. So I'm glad that you're here today. As we move forward, I want you to know that as we share on evangelism, let me tell you what evangelism is. Let's define that word to start out with. Evangelism is simply sharing your faith. The Apostle Paul would say it's given a reason for the hope that you have in your heart. It's why don't you break as the world is falling apart outside? Why do you have any hope? It's because Jesus died and he's coming back again and he changed me, right? Why are things different for us? It's because of Jesus, and it's sharing that. Evangelism is the church word for simply sharing your faith. But we're not going to talk about formulas or scripts or quizzes or things to memorize. It's simply taking a walk across the room to share with somebody. How many of you are able to walk across the room? I think we probably all are, right? We're able to take a walk. Sure we are. And we want to knock out the fear on that. We're going to open up with a short excerpt from the clip we're going to show this Thursday night. So you can kind of get introduced to the man who wrote the book that we're talking about on Thursday night. His name is Bill Hybels. He's a good pastor, and he wants to say hello today to us.
A lot of people I talk to get all freaked out when they hear the word evangelism. They think they have to master this massive amount of apologetic information. They think they have to have a different personality than God gave them. They think that it's just some formidable challenge that they could never rise to. And so often I find that it's the short, rather accessible little steps or walks or deeds that you do. It's not giving long speeches. It's mostly about friendship. It's not backing someone into a corner. It's just kind of pointing to Christ in ways that are natural for you. And I think if more people would do just the small thing that they can do, take a walk here, stretch out an arm here, say a word here, live your faith every day in a humble and kind of genuine way, I think a lot of people would find that they would be touching a lot more lives than they think.
So evangelism is not just the big event. It is actually just living your lives every day. If we would all do just the small things that we can do, we would touch a lot more lives. Let me tell you how the idea got started with Bill. Here's his story, how he began this book. I think it's a value for us today. He said he was invited to a dinner in the deep south. So he's at a ballroom, and you know how they divvy you up and make you sit with people you don't know? How many like that? I don't like that. Before we move on, let me ask this question. How many of you are extroverts? Like, you know, you're outgoing, and you're willing to talk to anybody you don't even know who they are, and you don't care. Okay, awesome. That's some of you guys. That's Ivan? Yeah? Okay, how many of you are introverts that you're kind of, that's not really your comfort zone? When you sit with strangers, you don't really like that so much. I'm that way. Okay, can I see your hands? All right. So, you know what's funny? Here's what's funny. This is what I saw, right? Here's from my perspective. How many of you are extroverts? Boom! How many of you are introverts? Is that funny? You're even shy with raising your hand. That's hilarious. And that's honestly me. I'm more of an introverted guy. Okay? I don't need to be. It's weird that God called me to do this, to start a church, because this isn't who I am. I guess it's who God wants me to be. But I'm the guy, I don't mind being quiet. I don't need to be in charge of anything. I can go into a meeting and just kind of sit in my own little shell. I'm fine. I could talk to somebody. I'm fine. Some of you don't believe it, but it's true, right? She says, no, I think it is. I think it's true. Anyway, like Pastor Bob, I am becoming more outgoing as the years go on. I think he's rubbing off on me. He said that God made him the outstanding man that he is a few weeks ago. Remember that if you were here. But listen, I'm fine. I don't really, I don't know. I guess I have my moments, right? I'm a little bit ornery, but I don't really need to. I don't know. I get kind of nervous when I'm around other people and around our peers. Well, anyway, Bill Hybel says he's a little bit like that. We'll have to take his word for it. But he was invited to a luncheon, and they made him sit down with a bunch of strangers he didn't know. And they said this: as you go around the table, introduce yourself. Say your name and what you do. So he's sitting around the table, and as he's sitting down, he looks across from him, and he sees this African-American man that looks like a linebacker, big dude. And as they go around the table, he says his name, and his name was distinctly Muslim. He could tell the man was a Muslim. And then the next person went, and the next person went. And then after they all went around, the man looked at Bill Hybels, the pastor, who wrote a lot of books, and he says this: I love your books. And this man, who you could tell he had a Muslim background by his name and everything, he tells Bill, I love your books. And he said, he turns around and looks, and like, somebody behind me? No, you. I love your books. And he thought he must have me confused with somebody else. And Bill says it like this. The guy says, yeah, we'll talk later, and had a huge grin on his face. And he says, I thought he was confused. He confused me with somebody else, but he pulled me aside and he says, I now understand this is probably a little confusing because you assume that I'm Muslim. Let me tell you a quick story. The man said, I've been a Muslim my whole life, and being an African-American Muslim in a southern city, that was very hard growing up. And he said, and even in the business that I am, I go to a lot of meetings. He says, it's very difficult. I struggle in these kind of social settings. I don't really fit in. Again, African-American man in the South, Muslim in the Bible Belt. It's very difficult for him. And he says, in the profession I'm in, we have a lot of parties and a lot of evening events and a lot of places where we mingle. And I get hors d'oeuvres, and I try to make business contacts, but I always stand by myself in the room, and I just watch everybody else talk, and eventually I leave. And I've just learned to deal with it. Very hard for me. And the man went on to say that he was at a party, and at this party, one of these business parties, he says he's standing by himself like always, holding his hors d'oeuvres. You know, he's there for business. He has to talk with people, but everybody's kind of offended by him or something. At least he feels that way. He feels very out of place. And he says he looks across the room, and a man on the other side of the room, of a different race, right? Different status, different circle of friends, is talking with somebody and looks up, and he sees this man all by himself. And he looks up, and he said he was surprised that anybody would even notice him and kind of wave. And after a few minutes later, he said the man came over to him and started talking to him and said, hey, how are you doing? I'm so-and-so. What's your name? And the man was afraid, gave him his name. Because he thought, well, I sound Muslim, but here's my name. And he said, oh, that's cool. And they started talking for a little bit about children and about their families and about sports. And then the man who came over said, well, I notice your name sounds like you're Muslim. Are you Muslim? And the man says, yes, I am Muslim. And so the first man says, that's kind of interesting because I'm a Christian. And he said, to be honest with you, I know nothing about Islam. If you live around here, and the guy says, yeah. And he says, could you do me this favor? And can we get together a few times, maybe grab breakfast or something, and tell me a little bit about yourself and why you believe what you believe? That I would find that interesting. That's what the Christian man said. The Muslim man said, wow, that's really strange. Okay, so they set up a breakfast date. Not date, breakfast meeting, right? So they went, all the things you got to clarify anymore. They set up breakfast, they went and hung out, ate. Hey, tell me about yourself, tell me about your faith system. And the man started talking, and he started sharing why he's a Muslim, and said, well, as I wasn't always Muslim. In fact, we were Christians when I was a kid. But you can kind of tell when you don't belong somewhere, when people don't want you. And he says, growing up at a church, people didn't want me there. Because he says, you could tell when they were being racist, and we just left. They were racist towards my family. They didn't like us. So we left, and we ended up becoming Muslim. The man says, well, I'm sorry to hear about your experience with that. And then they kept meeting for a while, a couple weeks, 3 or 4 weeks went by. Finally, the Muslim man says, you know, at one of these breakfast times, he says, you know what? It's it's really cool that you're taking such an interest in me and my belief system, but, you know, I really don't know anything about yours. Can you share your story? And to that, the Christian man saw the opportunity and says, sure, let me share with you why I like Jesus and what Jesus has done in my life. And during that time, let me read his words. The Muslim man says this, I didn't remember that much about the Christian faith. I'd been a Christian at some point in my childhood, but I didn't remember too much. And again, with the church, he says, it doesn't take a genius to know when you're not wanted. But he says, as he began to talk to the Christian man, he says, it happened so easily and respectfully and sensitively. And to make a long story short, he says, many months later, after determining that Christianity was the superior faith system, I committed myself to Jesus Christ, this man said. And it has made an unbelievable change in my life. And he tells Bill, he says, I'm a part of a local church now, and that's how I found out about you, because I read some of your books. And I can't tell you the difference this whole thing has made in my life and in the lives of my family members. And to that, the light clicked on for Bill. Think about that. All of this changed because one man was willing to, at a dinner party, walk away from his group to the person who's all alone. And notice what he didn't do. He didn't get in front of him and begin to yell and confront him. He just took an interest in this man's life. And over the course of time, this man, the Muslim, was longing for a relationship with God. And once the door was open, the Christian man just simply shared. And the Muslim man responded. And his wife got saved. And his children got saved. Isn't that a beautiful thing? All because this person was just listening to the voice of God. Today, the title of the message is The Single Greatest Gift. If you have a bulletin, you probably have a place for blanks. You can write some stuff down for that. The single greatest gift that God gives us is himself, right? The single greatest gift that anybody can give to us is an introduction to God who created us, who loves us, who gives us purpose. That's what this man gave his Muslim friend. And here, when it all boils down, what evangelism is just watching for ways to give this gift to somebody else. It's being open, looking across, being open to who is there, and open with your ear to the voice of God on whether or not it's time for you to share and how much. How many want to be used by God? We've been talking about that, haven't we, a lot lately? I want God to use me. How many else? Can you say again? How many of you want to be used by God to reach your family and friends? It begins with us crying out to God, saying, God, make us usable. God, make me usable. God, give me a hunger and a passion for you and the ability to hear your voice. Point one of the message today is this. Being willing to enter the zone of the unknown. The zone of the unknown is what Bill talks about. It's this. It's when you take that first step, you have no idea what's going to happen, right? Picture yourself. You're over here. You're talking with your friends. Somebody is over there by themselves, and you're looking around. Maybe there's many people by themselves. And you're thinking, Lord, is there anybody you want me to reach out to? And you get a sense of the Holy Spirit to take a step. Bill calls this the zone of the unknown because you have no idea how that person is going to respond, right? How could it go? You could walk over and that person could do what? How could it go? What do you think? Person could give you a hug, right? Person could swing at you. Right? The person could be a Dallas Cowboys fan and be really rude. Right? A lot of things could happen, right? You don't know. How many of us love rejection? None of us. But here's the thing. If we don't step out and risk a little bit, we're never going to be able to share our faith. We have to be able to move from our circle, go over and take a step and listen to the voice of God. Has anybody ever done that in your walk in your own life where the Lord was, you just had a sense that God was wanting you to say something to somebody and you didn't know how they were going to react? And listen, it might not have been anything that was like super deep theologically. It could just be simply sharing a smile or a hug or taking time to talk to somebody. Pastor Bob says he's done that. How many else? How many of you have done that? And you thought, this is a little scary, right? I don't know, but I'm going to take this step. I'm going to take this step. And when we find that God is there, right? When we take this step and if we listen to the voice of God and we start interacting with what he wants to do, that's exciting, isn't it? Is there honestly anything better? I know leaving conversations that I've had with people, like getting in the car after I walk away, I'm like, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. When you're able to take a step. Now listen, sometimes people may reject you. You may be sensing the Lord wants you to go say hello to somebody and they just shut the door on you. That's okay, right? That's okay. But God is calling us to take a step to move across into the zone of the unknown. Here's a question. What would happen if we were to take a few steps to impact somebody? This Muslim man, his wife got saved, his children got saved, he came to Christ. What would happen? Pastor Hybels has a quote of what would happen if we don't. He says, the day Christ followers like you and me, the day we stop taking walks across rooms in this manner, the day we stay glued to our circles of comfort, when we refuse to make the walk, refuse to enter the zone of the unknown, the day Christ followers like you and me stop doing that stuff, he says, it is lights out for the kingdom of God here on earth. It's the beginning of the end of redemptive history. It's the slow defeat of the church, the bride of Christ. It's the end of the dream of Christ that people on earth would come to know him. Listen, as we move forward, we want to say this. One of the top priorities of the Holy Spirit in our lives is giving us power to witness and share. Did you know that? One of the top priorities of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to propel us to walk across the room and say something to somebody. Right? And for some of you who are extroverts, maybe that's easy. Maybe some of you need to tone it down because you're too challenging. But for some of us who are introverts, this is terrifying. Walk across, what? Are you serious? I don't know my Bible well enough. I don't know scripture well enough. I have no idea what to say. And you're telling me I should walk and talk to somebody. Point two is awesome if that's your thought. How many of you have ever said anything wrong with sharing with somebody, right? So here's point two. You got to have point two. Here we go. Listen for the Spirit's promptings. This is where it gets supernatural, okay? This is where if you're not a Christian yet, don't witness. Get saved yourself first. We're not sharing with somebody a theological treaty. We're sharing with people the relationship that Jesus has made in our own lives. And the Bible says that when you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart, and he will give you the power to help. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is telling his disciples and others, listen, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And it's not just so you can get excited and feel Holy Spirit goosebumps. The gift of the Holy Spirit is about power to witness. He gives us power for holy living, yes, but primarily it's power for witness. It's after we've tasted and we've seen that God is so good that we have to share that with somebody. It's power for witness. Has anybody been, maybe you've been in a church that was very charismatic, very Pentecostal. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I don't believe they stopped at all. Scripture doesn't say that they stopped. There's no place that you would find that. God still moves and wants to speak to us. But we have rules that govern the gift of the Spirit, right? It has to be interpreted. It has to be on line with Scripture. Scripture is above everything else, right? Everything is subordinate to Scripture. So we understand those things. We understand that God moves and operates and speaks to us today. But he also wants to speak to you on a personal level as well, to share your faith. Because listen, you're not going to know what to say. We could give you a script and a formula, but you don't have any idea what that person across the room is going through, right? We could share with you something to say, but you're not going to know if it will even impact that person or not. You could share with him how Jesus is your joy, and maybe they're just at a different place. You don't know what to say. That's why step two is awesome. God wants to give you and help you and lead you to share. Okay? Before we move on, think of it this way. We're saying that God has called us all to share. He's given us all the Holy Spirit so we could walk across the room or walk across our job site or walk across the Wawa parking lot and share. But we're saying the onus of this, right? The responsibility for this goes back to the Holy Spirit. You hear me today before we move on? I know my voice is probably hard to listen to this morning, but don't miss this truth. God wants, he's given you the Holy Spirit, and the responsibility for whether or not these people come to faith is God's. He wants you to share and just be the voice through whom he talks. Does that make sense? Listen to the Spirit's prompting. Sometimes it could go like this for you. You're beginning to share, and that person just closes the door, and you just get a sense of this isn't the time. And maybe it's the Holy Spirit telling you this isn't the time. Maybe the Holy Spirit's just wanting you to just share, you know, that God loves them, and you walk away. Paul says it this way in Scripture. He talked about how different people work in the lives of the church. And he says this phrase, Apollos planted, right? I watered, God gave the increase. And the thought is this, everybody has a different job to play. And sometimes with you, God might be leading you to just point somebody that there is a God. And you get back in your car and drive away, and all you did was move that person a little bit towards Jesus. And God is calling somebody else to move them a little bit more, right? And somebody else to move them a little bit more. You don't know. And also, sharing your faith, it takes a long time, doesn't it? In that story of the man walking across and speaking to the Muslim, he didn't show up and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead. And if you don't accept him right now, you're going to hell, pal. And I don't know if you're going to get home tonight. You might die on the way home, which is all true. But if the Lord isn't leading you to share like that, that just might turn that person off. You might think, you're just crazy. Rick Warren said this. He's a pastor. One of the quotes that he said that stuck out to me is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the Christian spent a long time in that story sharing with the Muslim man that he cared. And that friendship brought that man and his family to Christ. It was a long process of listening to God, of going to breakfast. Maybe going to breakfast on the second time wondering, God, it doesn't seem like he's getting much further. I'm hearing a lot about Islam and I haven't been able to open up to you, but he's willing to meet again. So Lord, when the time is right, speak to me and give me the words because I have no idea what to say. Right? And when the time was right, he shared. See, this is something we can do. We can do. We can be willing to take a step. And listen for the voice of God. Here's scripture. All of our scripture today is going to be on the screen to help us out this morning. We don't usually do that, but that's what we're going to be doing today. Matthew 5, 13 through 14. Jesus said this. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Here's a thought. Let's talk about the salt comparison. Jesus said that we're salt. We're supposed to go and add flavor to somebody, to add spiritual potency. But you know what you need in order for salt to affect something, your food, right? Lou likes salt on his watermelon, right, Lou? I remember you said that because my dad likes salt on his watermelon, which I just find is strange, but a lot of people do. What do you have to do to make your watermelon taste better with the salt? You have to put the salt on the watermelon, right? You can't just have it in the shaker on the table. You have to sprinkle the stuff on top. You have to have proximity. Here's the thought for us. If we're going to share our faith with people, we have to get near them and rub on them, right? Like salt has to get on your food, you have to get involved with people. How easy is that? That can be difficult to get around people. As a pastor, let me tell you, for me and for others, if we spend too much time at church and if we're only around Christian friends, we need to find a way to get around people that don't know Jesus or we can't share our faith, right? I mean, I've been working on Pastor Bob for years sharing our faith. And trying to get Maria to convert, it's hard. But seriously, they love Jesus, and I know that. But we need to find people who don't know the Lord to rub up against them, right? Some of you, you're like, I don't have that problem, right? Because your job or whatever, you're like, I'm around sinners all the time. You know, well, that's a good thing. Some of us, maybe we need to be intentional to get around other people. You know, to get around other Christians, maybe at the park or whatever. But we need to find a way to get around people. And if we don't get up to people and rub up against them, we're not going to get to share our faith. We need proximity. Does that make sense? So we need, again, the picture is we need to, sorry, James, this is like the safe side today and that's the unsafe side. I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with you and my wife, but it's just how it goes. If you we have to leave our comfort zone to reach out in order to be salty with people, to affect them. Being salty with people actually means something else, doesn't it? It means being nasty with them. We don't want to be nasty with them. Let's talk about fear of that. Fear can overwhelm us, but Jesus does promise he would help us and he will give us the Holy Spirit to help us, right? He will help us get through and to talk with others and to share our faith. Moving on, Romans 5:8 says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were stuck in sin, Jesus gave his life for us. He gave his life for us. That's why we share that truth with other people. How many of you, it really means something to think about how Jesus loved you and died for you? Can I see hands? Probably all of us, right? We're here on a Sunday morning. Would this truth mean anything to friends and family we come in contact with? Do you think there's other people who need to hear that? Absolutely. What we want to do is realize there are other people that need to know Jesus, and we need to rub up against them in order to share. Look at another passage of scripture, Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. This is talking about Jesus, right, taking, if you will, the walk across the cosmos to enter into our world that he may save us. Verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus left heaven to come and live on earth, to dwell with us, to die for us. Jesus took the biggest walk ever. He left the perfect relationship of the Trinity to come and be involved with us so that we could be saved. One of the things that Jesus did by doing so, I think he showed us an example that as he left his comfort zone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we can leave our comfort zone of hanging with our friends to share faith with others. We don't need to get tied up into how we do it or certain schemes or anything. We can put all that stuff aside and listen to the Holy Spirit. As we walk down the street, as we go to a restaurant, into an office complex, into a locker room, we need to be open to God speaking to us. Does that make sense? This is really simple, isn't it, so far? There's a need for us to exit our comfort zone. There's a need for us to be willing to enter that zone where we don't know what's going to happen. We need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the third thing, the last thing today, is just walk. Just do it. I understand how scary this is with taking a walk. And on Thursday night and coming up in the future, we're going to be talking about specifically some things to say. How do you share the gospel? Okay? We're going to be talking about those things. But it all starts with a walk, doesn't it? It all starts with a walk. Jesus dying on the cross for us started with his, if you will, walk to live upon this earth. He came and dwelt and died and rose again. When we go through scripture and we see the Apostle Paul on the missionary journeys, it all started with him leaving the house and walking and getting on the boat. And once he gets into the cities, it starts with him seeing, I'm thinking of the lady who was washing stuff in the book of Acts. Pastor Bob's busy. He's my walking concordance. It's okay. The lady washing clothes as Paul enters into the city down at the river, and they started a church in her home. Really? It's in the Bible. I'll tell you later. Thinking of other stuff. Really? You don't know what I'm talking about? We just talked about Lydia. Wasn't it Lydia? They started a church in her home in the city of Philippi. I believe it was Philippi. Really? I'm shocked. The end times are here. Pastor Bob doesn't know what I'm talking about. That's the first time ever. He's usually like, oh, yeah, that's Acts chapter 13, verse 5. Interesting thing with that passage. It's cool. I believe that's her name. We'll figure it out. Listen, but Paul, anyway, he does it over and over again. He walks and he sees somebody and he just starts sharing. He starts sharing Jesus. And that's what it starts with us, just taking a walk. Listen for the Spirit's prompting and take a walk. Jesus did that for you and I. We need to do that as well, and we're going to be spending some time talking about that. A great passage of scripture as we start to wrap it up, we get to see Jesus doing that in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, we see Jesus walking into a town, into Samaria. He's got him. He's got his 12 boys, the disciples. They're hot. They're hungry. They walk into the town, and as they walk into the town, there's a lady sitting at the well. And she's, you know, taking care of her business. And the disciples look at Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm hungry. And I hear they have good cheesesteaks. Let's go grab a cheesesteak. We're not here that often. Let's try the place, right? So they go into the town. And Jesus, you want to go? And he says, no, you guys go up ahead. I'll catch up to you in a moment. And Jesus actually turns over and he looks and he sees the woman at the well. And he takes a walk to her. He goes over to her and begins to talk with her. Now, this is interesting as we're just touching on this from John 4. For Jesus to walk over and talk to this woman, he's breaking all kinds of rules. She was a Samaritan, okay? So as he's walking across to meet with her, she was a race in which he wasn't supposed to talk to her. In their time period, a Jew did not talk to a Samaritan. They were known as half-breeds. And people would look at you. You shouldn't talk to her. Jesus walked across, began to talk to her. She was also a woman. She even mentions that. Why are you talking to me, a woman, a Samaritan? See, men didn't talk to women like that. Jesus broke another rule. He also broke other cultural rules and even religious rules, because a good Jew didn't want anything to do with them. You didn't want to rub off on them. Like, we're talking about being salt in the world and rubbing off on somebody. They're Jesus' words. The religious group of that day would say, no, 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 don't rub off on anybody. They could rub off on you. Stay away. Don't share. Us four and no more, right? Come to church and lock the door. Don't go out and rub onto something. You could end up getting messed up. Jesus went and did that intentionally. He says we need to rub up against people. We need to be the salt. And he broke the religious rule, the racial rules, the gender rules. And he went to this woman who was considered a sinner. To make a long story short, she was somebody who was married not once, twice, three, four, five times, and divorced five times. Jesus went over with her and shared with her, even though people would consider her unclean. They're talking about water, and Jesus says this as he reaches out to her and begins to talk about more than just water. The water at the well was the thing she started talking about. Can I have a drink? Oh, I always get water here. Jesus says this, well, anyone who drinks the water in your well will become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water and I will never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here to get water. Jesus began to share with her. They used the object of water. And Jesus said, this water will satisfy you for a little while. The water that I give, the living water ready, the Holy Spirit will become a bubbling spring that will refresh your soul forever. That every day you can spend time with God and you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit that fills you with new life. Does that make sense? Are we there today? If you're not a Christian, that's one of the things that becoming a Christian does. He gives you his Holy Spirit and his presence, and it gives you strength and refreshing. You don't have to look outside. What you need to do when problems overwhelm you in life is get away and get with Jesus. That's good, isn't it? Right? With everything else, if I break my arm, I got to go to the hospital, right? If I'm a Dallas fan, I need extra counseling, right? We have all these things we go out for. When I'm overwhelmed, what do? I come to Jesus. Get in. Come in. Get away with God and spend time with God. And Jesus is sharing with this woman, again, married five times, divorced five times, and she was shacking up with some guy that wasn't even her husband. Heartbroken, hurting. Jesus reaches out and says, I would like to give you the gift of living water. Gift of my presence that will refresh you every day. He begins to share with her. Guess what? She accepts Christ. To make a long story short, she goes into town. If you know the story, right? If you know the story, you do. If not, you can read it later. John chapter 4. She goes to town and she gets all of her friends and family and brings them back. And she tells them, this is the Messiah. He knows everything about me. The Holy Spirit revealed it to Jesus and he began to share. And she goes and gets all of her family and friends and they come and they find Jesus. Isn't that cool? They come and they find Jesus. And here's the thought. Fast forward quickly. Fast forward 20 years later, okay, 20 years later, this lady, maybe she's an old lady at this point, 20 years into the future. Her grandkids and children and grandchildren, they all know Jesus. And they're sitting around, maybe they just got done church, and they start talking about how good God is in their life. Can you imagine it? And somebody looks to their mom and says, "Mom, how come we're Christians? I know a lot of people that aren't, and I'm so glad that Jesus is in my life. How come we're Christians? How did we ever find out? What's her story?" And the mom would say, "You know what? I don't know all the details. Let me get your grandma." And they go and they bring this woman back out. Not that they keep her in a closet or anything, right? They bring grandma out. And they bring her over, right? Open, give grandma out of the closet. Time for her to share. Horrible. So they bring her out. "Grandma, what's the story again?" She would say, "You know what? It started like any other day. I'm at the well. And this man walked across the road to talk to me. This man who shouldn't have talked to me because I was a different race, different gender. Everybody would look and think, what's wrong?" And he shared. It was Jesus. And it impacted generations. See, I understand we're talking about Jesus, but the same thing happened with the Apostle Paul. The same thing happened with the Apostle Paul. That he would go to towns and share, and their kids would have kids, and their kids would have kids, and generations would come to Christ because Paul showed up to a town and shared. Can I tell you quickly, this happened as part of my story. My story is probably, all of our stories are different, and they're all equally valid. Let me give you, if you don't know, a super quick 30-second version of my story. My grandmom and grandpop, they didn't love the Lord. They didn't care about the Lord. From what I understand is they drank all the time and they fought all the time. And that was it, right? It was like drink, fight, repeat. Drink, fight, repeat. And it was just bad marriage. It was just awful. And at some point, somebody invited my grandmom to church. Somebody took the step across the driveway or whatever that was and cared enough about my grandma to invite her to church. And then not too far after that, my grandpa found Jesus, became a preacher and an evangelist, and traveled the country sharing Jesus in a tent ministry in the 60s and 70s. I remember being real little. I have little memories of it. I was like 3, so... remember going through the big tent. My grandpop's preaching. He would yell at people all the time. I don't yell nearly as much as my grandpop. But he would share Jesus all because someone took a step across the room. Now, then I grew up in church because of it. My mom and dad went to church, right? They were Sunday school teachers at the time. I grew up in church. I heard about Jesus. My wife, she loves Jesus. Our daughter loves Jesus. And we can trace this for me, somebody walking across the driveway talking to my grandma. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Anybody else, do you have a story like that? Does anybody know quickly the version of your story you wouldn't mind sharing? Was it with you or maybe an aunt or an uncle or somebody who just took a step to just share, to invite or anything? Anybody? Nobody? Anybody saved today? All right, Pastor Bob? Yeah. 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 It's awesome. Sure. That's awesome. Yeah, thank you. Somebody invited him to church for a special event, and Pastor Bob came, and then that changed everything. Janet, did you have your hand up or no? Right. 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 Awesome. 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 Yeah, very true. And you're seeing generations begin to get affected because Joanna took a walk across the street, and if he caught what she said several times. Several. It's okay if people say no. It's okay. Sometimes it takes a while. Milton? Okay. Yeah. Right. Right. Awesome. 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 Yeah, very, very cool. Anybody else? Awesome. So a coach came over and you had that opportunity. And you asked him, you said, what's different? Awesome. Very cool. Anybody else real quickly, if you want to? As we go forward, even on Thursday night, we're going to see a great example of someone coming to Christ on the video series. And I think it's going to be an encouragement to you. And guess what? It takes time. And sometimes we take a step and we share and we're just surprised. But unless we're willing to enter the unknown, listen, you're not going to die probably, right? And even if you do, it was God's will and you go to heaven. And it's awesome. And nobody in heaven is like, shoot, I wish I was still on earth. Everybody in heaven is happy, right? Because it's the best thing going. But that probably won't happen to you. But I understand the fear. But that's why number two is awesome. The Holy Spirit will help you. You don't have to do it all your own. You don't have to take responsibility. What if they reject Jesus? Then they rejected who? Jesus and not you. What if they act like they reject you? Well, it's probably a Jesus thing. They probably just hate Jesus. And just share and love. And sometimes people need a smile and encouragement. Sometimes it's just an introduction and a friendship that launches until there's a door and the Holy Spirit whispers, now. Maybe you'll get to know somebody and they'll say, I'm scared because the doctors think I might have cancer. But maybe that information comes at like your third breakfast meeting. Well, there's an opportunity. If you don't mind, I'll pray for you. I know that God is good and he's able. And you don't have to have fear, right? You see what I'm saying? Spirit's prompting. Last thing. Just walk. Just do it. It's okay. We'll talk as we move forward specific things, how to share the gospel so it makes sense. A few strategies and things for that. But the big thing is just walk and just love on somebody and just listen. As we close out, everybody received a postcard you should have when you came in. There's probably more in the back, right, Jim, on the back table. There's some extras. It says, God used you to help point the way. You have this postcard because what I would like you to do, if you're able, if you know the person who helped you find Jesus, write them a note this week and say thank you. Write them a note and say thank you for showing me Christ, for taking that walk across the room. And here's the other thought. If you don't know the person anymore, say they're in heaven already, or you're just out of touch, find somebody else who is an encouragement to other people as well. Somebody who you've just seen who is an encourager and help pointing people to Jesus. Send them the note. Thank you for sharing your faith. Thank you for doing a good job. God is using you. And here's the last thought. As you walk to the mailbox, do this. As you walk to the mailbox, begin to pray, God, use me to share my faith. Just like this person. God, may 5 years, 10 years from now, somebody sends me a postcard thanking me for sharing my faith. Use me, God. And we mail it being a blessing to someone else. And we pray that God would use us. Think about it. Think about people whose lives could be set free because we take a walk across the room. I do. We all have stories, don't we? As Janet shared, listen, we all have stories of somebody taking a walk somewhere and inviting us. Even if it wasn't with you personally, it could go back generations. Somebody at some point shared with you. And we want to do that with other people. I think that as we go through here, listen, we're going to grow in our relationships with God. we're going to call out, and this is cool, right? Step two is like, listen to the Holy Spirit. How can you do that without pausing to worship God? Pause, God. Lord, I want to share your love, and I need you because my prayer is this. I need you because I'm dense, and I'm not going to get it, and it scares me to death. But I know that you died for that person. And I know that you have a hope and a plan for them. Give me your words. We can pray that. As we go, the last thing we want to say is, on your app, there is a thing this week that says Live It at the bottom. The same as it was last week, the same icon. You can click on that. And we want to have a discussion this week and say, begin praying for people who you want to share God's love with. Who are they? And talk about how grateful you are that somebody risked taking a step for you and your family. You can be involved with that communication on your app. Let's go ahead and pray today. Can we do that? Pastor Bob's going to come and lead us in a closing song as we worship Jesus and thank him for what he's done in our lives. So the worship team can come forward. We're going to stand and we're going to pray and give God praise one more time before we go. The Lord is so good. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we wrap up our time today, God, Lord, I just pray that you would use us to change the world. Lord, I'm not asking, God, that we would start some brand new thing, but we would just do what you've been asking us to do all along. Lord, that we would be willing to take a step out of our comfort zone to see someone come to you. I pray today you would help us to depend upon your Spirit's promptings, Lord, that we would not share too much, but we would also not share too little, that this time and this series would force us to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit even more. For those of us who are suffering with fear, I pray for faith to rise up. I pray that encouragement from your word would come forth. God, I pray lastly that we would just do it, that we would just take that walk. Like so many that just took a walk across parking lots or shopping malls or even a job site, that we would come to know you as Christians. We pray that we would do the same thing to others, that we would give a reason for the hope that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.